adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, yo, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Adam Rodriguez is coming in here tonight from CSI Miami. Number one new show.
New show.
Number one new show.
Hmm.
That's what I hear, yeah. Yeah, it's a big deal. All these spinoffs.
I don't think of this new CSIs. Show. It's been around long enough, and it's been huge for a couple months, hasn't it?
Ooh, let's see. Spinoff, the hugely successful CSI series from CBS, was the number one new show of the fall of 2002.
Okay. 2002.
202.
Okay, so yeah.
Right. Not so new anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, looking good. All right, so anyway, he's running just a couple minutes late, so he's going to be in here. Just a second, Puddle of Mud tomorrow night, and then Pink on Wednesday, and Kathy Griffin, who I like to call Orange. Yeah, she's coming in here on Thursday. And Pink was at the American Music Awards. Jimmy was hosting tonight, did a wonderful job, very funny. And a lot of the acts, some good, some bad, but Pink, very good. Very impressive. People were impressed with her pipes.
Is that her in that new Old Navy ad?
I don't know.
I wondered. I've never met her, so.
Yeah, well you'll tell me on Wednesday, yeah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yo.
Had a little bit of, you know, there's a handful of things out there make me feel like a snob, make me sound like a snob, maybe make me a snob, maybe not even a snob.
Maybe more than a handful of things.
Maybe just an a-hole, but these are things I think anyone would back me up on, and it would drive me insane, which is, and we've touched on this, but it just happened. It happened tonight, which is, and I know there's nobody listening to this show that does any valet car parking, but please. I was just coming out of the Shrine Auditorium, saw the award show tonight. I have a strange story about that. I was sitting in the, I'll get to the car parking thing in a second. I was sitting in the booth. There's a little booth in the back, sort of makeshift tent with a TV or something in it, teleprompter typist, and a couple of writers and a monitor, and you sit there and you watch. And, you know, if you got something funny to say and Jimmy's going to come up there next, you want to slip him a joke, you know, you tell him. It's basically what it is. About halfway in the show, Dick Clark comes bursting into the thing, and he's out of the way, out of the way. Then he grabs me, and he's like, Jimmy, you got to go up. And I said, huh? He went, oh. And he just sat me back down again and rushed out again. So I have no idea what the problem was.
Well, that's very funny.
Evidently, yeah. Clark thought I was Jimmy for about 10 seconds. But from the profile, I could see it. So here's the thing. Got the here's the problem, really. And again, I know this makes me sound like a prick. But
well, at least you know it.
I sound like a prick, but I'm going to stand by it.
Let's hear it.
Okay. Here's the problem in this town. Let's be honest.
Among other things, yes.
Everybody who does anything with a car, who anyone who drives your car, other than you, is Hispanic. They're shorter breed. If they're not Hispanic, they're Asian. They're not a rangy breed. There's no West Africans or North Africans that drive. There's nobody from those tribes who come over here and play hoop. You know what I'm saying?
They're not rangy.
They're not a rangy group, the guys who park your car.
Okay, all right.
They're even shorter. I'm going to look into it one day and try to figure out why all valets are 5'6 and below. But they are. You've never had a valet climb out of your car and had the guy tower over you.
You're right.
Ever?
No.
No, I mean, usually when you open your car door, the guy comes up to the open car door. His head doesn't get higher than the roof of your car.
Maybe they make higher that way, so it's not uncomfortable for them. I don't know.
I got a few theories here.
Yeah.
One is they're short cultures. Is it Asian or Hispanic? Shorter cultures, number one, or just a crazy, you know, Vietnamese ones or something like that. They're shorter cultures, number one. Number two, maybe these guys, maybe this is sort of the drainage ditch of roads. I mean, the drainage ditch of jobs by the side of the road. You know what I mean? This is where you land.
Yeah.
The tall guys, they got the corner offices, they're the executives, they're the movers.
So you're
movers
just
and shakers.
You're hypothesizing basically sort of a Darwinistic theory that the alpha male includes a male that's larger and more imposing and therefore would get better jobs.
They just had a study a couple of weeks back that said taller guys, And we all know taller guys. And by the way, whenever you do better with chicks, you do better in jobs, you do better in everything. You know what I mean? Like when they go...
That's primate behavior.
Yeah, they do these studies where they go, everyone sitting down, attractive women make on average more than unattractive, heavy set women. Yeah, of course. Better looking people get everything. They get better jobs and whatever. And they did a study. Short guys don't do as well. They don't make as much. It's, you know, 70 cents on the dollar to the tall guy. Maybe they all just end up parking cars.
Could be.
I got a lot of theories here. The point is they're always short. You can agree on that.
And so what happened?
Well, what happened is I now had officially a midget went and picked my car. Mm-hmm. He didn't go through the door. He went in through the exhaust pipe.
And of course, he had to adjust the seat.
And when he pulled up, the seat was so far forward that I think he had to actually take bolts out of the tracks, re-drill it, re-tap it, and slide it all. Like, I didn't know it went that far forward.
Right. The steering wheel was behind the seat, right?
And now it's become a pet peeve of mine where, yes, the headrest, actually, he was using the visor as a headrest.
Nice.
The seat was making contact with the steering wheel. And he got out, you know, and he was sitting in the car, and I could see it jammed all the way up there, and he was getting ready to climb out of the car. And this is my pet peeve, which is I'm going to give a guy $5. He can slide the seat back. Or if you hop into a car and you have to jam the seat all the way up, you can go ahead and just put it back to wherever it was.
Yeah.
Or, by the way, give me a worst-case scenario to slide the seat all the way back.
And, you know, that's one thing. At least they're driving the car from somewhere when they parked it somewhere. Why do the guys that drive it from the car wash exit 4 feet over
slide that seat all the way
thing.
Up? All the way up past the front bumper.
Yeah.
If I got in an accident, the front of the seat would be the first thing that made contact with the other car.
Right, that
far forward.
Right.
And so, yeah, if you slide the seat all the way back, well, worst case scenario is a short guy climbs in, he has to scooch up. But when you got the long legs and the knobby knees, you can't get in.
You can't get in even, yeah.
Yeah, so the guy had the seat all the way up, and I did he started to get out of the car, and then my pet peeve was, you know, I had the $5 in my hand. I said, hey, slide the seat back. And he's like, huh? What? What? I was like, the seat. Slide the seat back. He didn't know. He didn't know what to say. He was like, didn't know what I was doing. And then the crowd was gathering around us, and people were like, now I'm starting to seem like a prima donna. Slide the seat back. So naturally, grabs the wrong thing. The thing reclines all the way back, and I was like, okay, get out of the car, out of the car. So we got out, and I just looked like a prick and had to slide the seat all the way back. Adam Rodriguez is here, by the way. Great to see you.
Good to see you, too. What's happening?
It's just talking about the marvelous success of CSI Miami and my inability to find a tall valet parker.
I was listening on the way in. Yeah.
They're not tall people. We need to start breeding them.
Generally not. Kenyans. I mean, I am in the Hispanic category there. I am Latino.
You're rangy.
And I'm 6'1". And that's not a common thing, I don't think.
Have you ever had a guy, and L.A. is a town that runs off the car, and you're constantly throwing the keys to people when you go to the restaurant, wherever you go, and the guy pulls up, you can't even see him. Like, when you turn around, you feel him, he taps you in the ass.
But like, I don't think that's
keys. And you just drop
thing
them.
Because I think it's just
shorter breed.
Oh.
What do you mean?
The car parkers are a shorter breed, really.
They're like jockeys. You know, jockeys tend to be short. Maybe that's one of the requirements. Have you ever applied for a job as a valet? Maybe you wouldn't qualify.
No, I tried. I'm too.
You're overqualified. You're too tall.
They have an arm. It's like at Disneyland.
Right at Disneyland.
Mickey's
yeah.
arm. If you go over this, you cannot drive a vehicle. But all I'm saying is just slide the seat back. Or here's what I'm saying.
Oh,
here's
you get pissed when they move the seat.
They slide it all the way up.
You know what? That is annoying.
And then they slide out of the car, and then you have to stuff your ass into the car and then slide it back.
But come on, you're making big bucks. Your car doesn't have one of those memory things. You press the button and the seat goes back to the
does
original.
Does not have the memory thing.
Oh, that's
what
are you doing?
Come Even on. If I did.
You have it.
Okay, here's all I'm saying. All valet parkers, and I know we have a lot of them listening to the show. If you see...
Your car is going to be
if
ruined.
If you see a rangy... Yeah, I'm finding a turd in there. Here's what the professional valet does. When you size up the person who's got the tip money and is getting in the car, you see Dr. Ruth coming up at 4-9, you leave the seat where it is. Maybe throw a telephone book in there. You see the rangy Ace Corolla making its way toward the vehicle, you slide it all the way back. That's all. It's comical when you have to get a running start to get into the car.
Imagine what Shaq has to go through.
Oh my God, he's got to go in through the. Well, he probably. What do you think he drives? A Hummer or something like that.
Whatever he wants.
Yeah. Well, Adam, what's going on there, buddy boy?
Nothing much, man. Just here to hang out with you guys again. Great. I had a good time the last time. So
yeah, what were we talking about? Baseball last time you were here? What was it?
I'm sure that was brought up somewhere in the conversation, some baseball. We probably talked about that.
That's good interviewing,
the topic
by the way,
for the night was.
Asking the guests what we talked about.
Yeah, that's
last
good. Nice
time.
Technique. I remember that.
All right. Well, CSI Miami needs no real plug, and it's doing very well, right?
Yes, doing very well. We were the number one show, the number one new show of last season, and now we're the number one show on Monday nights this year.
Oh, right. beating Monday Night Football.
Beating Monday Night Football.
What kind of pussies are out there?
Consistently.
A one-hour crime drama. Beat real head-to-head competition this way. Football action. What's going on with this country? I blame the valets. All right.
There we go.
All right. Monday nights, 10 o'clock on CBS. Let's everything's shot in Miami, right?
No, it's not, actually. We do the majority of it here.
Really?
We go to Miami every 3-4 months. We go down there for a couple of weeks.
Nice.
And come back here.
Wow. Yeah. Are you on a stage out here?
Yeah, we're on a soundstage down in Manhattan Beach.
Manhattan Beach. It's got to be rough splitting your time between Manhattan Beach and Miami.
It's kind of tough, you know. It ain't easy, baby. Somebody's got to do it, right?
Sarah?
Hello?
You're 18?
Yeah.
What's up?
I have a question. Mm-hmm. Whenever me and my boyfriend have sex, we only do it when he wants to. And whenever I'm in the mood for having sex, he never wants to. He always has an excuse.
How many times is he asking for it as opposed to you?
Well, he's normally the initiator.
And how often is that?
I'd say 4 out of 5 times.
But okay, he initiates. And how many days a week is he initiating?
I'm only over here 3 days a week, so 2 out of 3 days.
All right, 2 out of 3 days he initiates. And you guys have sex.
And is it the first 2 days every time? And then suddenly is an afterthought you sort of tag on at the end?
Well, can I give an example?
Yes, please.
Today we had sex, and it was really short, and I didn't get anything out of it. And then an hour later, I wanted to, and he said that he wasn't in the mood, and now he won't. And I just want to know, is that right?
Maybe you're asking for the wrong thing.
Well, he should perform oral sex on you, right?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Does he do that?
No.
Okay, that's what's missing.
Yeah.
Because he may be done in terms of his ability to have sex again, intercourse. He may not be able to. And yet, for you to say, hey, I need to have an orgasm or whatever, that's a reasonable request.
Hey, Sarah, how old is he?
He's 20.
20. 20 should be able to bounce back from an orgasm. Being 20, it's like an injury, you know? Like, you turn your ankle, you roll your ankle when you're 50, you're on crutches for 6 months.
Right.
You do it at 20, you tape it up, you're back in the game by the second half.
After the game, yeah.
That's right.
Have you tried giving him oral after that hour that you've waited in between sex, maybe, to get him going?
No, I mean, I've tried to get him, turned on, but he just won't. He'll just roll over.
Another Loveline reenactment. I've tried.
Yeah.
Really?
Which is it? You tried, right?
I tried, but he
have you ever asked a guy for oral sex?
No, I mean, I'll try to get him, turned on and, want to have sex.
Whoa. Sarah, Adam asked you a specific question.
You never asked him for oral sex?
No.
How come?
I don't really like it.
Yeah. You don't like it? you got a sister?
No, I'd rather have regular sex.
Okay, so that's... So he has to be up for that.
Does your orgasm come through regular sex, but not through oral sex?
Yeah, that's how it is.
Oh, wait. Do you have orgasms?
Yes, all the time.
All the time.
All right.
Just intercourse or masturbation? Yeah.
Intercourse.
Huh?
Okay. True. Don't help the guest. No cheating. Yeah, you have orgasm through intercourse, right?
Yes.
And sort of multiply orgasmic, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe this guy's not for you.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like you're in love with him.
No.
No,
he's not keeping up properly.
If you got to ask us, I think
you're right. By the way, when you say, it doesn't sound like you're in love with him. No.
Really? Not?
You really don't think so?
No, then you're not in love. And this is, by the way, even you're 18 and he's 20 and things aren't really working. By the way, here's the thing. Sexually, everything should be working no better than when you're 18 and 20. You know what I mean? If, if you're having trouble sort of finding a rhythm, or your girl going, I ask him for this, but he says no, he doesn't feel like it or something, that just means he's not that into it, really.
Yeah, that's bad.
And you're probably not that into him either. It's just time to go your separate ways, right?
Ugh.
Drew is a man of exquisite passion. Exquisite passion, and can't understand how this works. Drew can't, this is why Drew can't even go to a strip club. He cannot go because he's a man of such exquisite passion. He can't look at a woman's rear end for 3 hours whilst drinking wine coolers and then go home. He must rape. And he must be stopped before he rapes again. It's true that it's no fun for you, is it? A strip club?
No.
Because of your extreme passion. Your passion ruins it for you. I mean, it's like, it would be like me taking a tour of a brewery and never getting a beer, right?
But literally knowing that your favorite beer is back home.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You got some other bitch you're keeping at home other than your wife? Are you kidding, Drew?
No, I'm not kidding.
The mics are hot.
No.
Can't believe you're saying that. Well, she heard that.
His wife still listens. That's good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Covering his ass.
Oh,
the wife.
God.
No, that's true. That's the truth. That is the truth.
Yeah.
He's going to get some tonight.
She listens, too.
He's ready to go home now.
But let me tell you something about Drew's wife. It's like steroid testing in the NFL, which is you don't know when she's listening, when she isn't. That's why you got to kiss ass all the time. She may not listen for a month, but then she'll listen three nights in a row and quiz Drew on it. Drew's caught off guard and obviously has no way of knowing when she's listening or not. So it's the not knowing that makes you.
But I'm deadly serious about this.
Puts you in constant ass kissing mode.
Absolutely, this is not ass kissing.
No,
I
know it's constant ass kiss because you don't know. Thank you. All right, where the hell was Renee? Renee.
Hello.
You're 22.
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, when I was 11 years old, my dad molested me, and
perfectly normal, perfectly healthy.
But I mean, I hate his guts. I hate him. I mean, I want to kill him.
Fine.
Ooh, a little rough, but we hate him too.
All right,
come here and give me a hug.
But my big brother, he's 4 years older than me, and he insists that I make amends with my dad, and that I talked to him, and...
Well, what amends do you have to make?
I don't have any amends to make.
That's the point. Yeah. That is the point.
Well, I mean...
Does your brother know the whole situation? Does he understand where it
happened? But, I mean, he thinks that I should forgive him, and that
no.
I shouldn't hate him.
Well, yes, you should, for your sake, that it's better to make sense of all this in terms of your own emotional life. But to be around him again and have a relationship with him, I wouldn't do it unless you'd...
I really don't want to.
But if you don't want to, fine, you shouldn't have to. But and it's not going to be good for you. You're going to have panic attacks and flashbacks. It's going to be a mess for you. But if you need to do it, it should be done with a therapist, with somebody who really could observe this and watch it for you.
Yeah.
Hold on a second.
Way.
Now, your dad did this how long ago?
I was 11.
You were 11.
Yeah,
and,
11 years ago.
Yeah. Now, is it the kind of thing where he was a drug addict and now he's cleaned up, found Jesus, and changed his life?
He was never really a part of my life much.
No. Renee, hold on.
Your dad.
Was he a drug addict at the time he did the molesting?
If he was, I didn't know it.
He's not in some sort of recovery now.
I mean, he might have been. I know he had an aggression problem. I know
that. Your brother's not saying, geez, he was a heroin addict, now he's in recovery, give him a chance. Nothing like that.
Oh, no.
Nothing like that. Okay.
I know everybody's saying he's grown up and that he's changed so much, but...
Well, you know, you grow up, you stop molesting your kids.
Yeah.
You put that behind you.
How short-sighted of the daughter not to get over this. Come on. Give me a break.
Yeah, we all made our youthful indiscretions. You finger-bang your kid.
Renee, you have no obligation to make amends to him. He should try to make them to you. And even then, again, you shouldn't feel obliged to be face-to-face with this person, and not unless you are with... Really, somebody's watching you and caring for you carefully.
And your brother should be doing his best to actually get your father to apologize to you and try and make amends.
Well,
not vice versa. I mean,
maybe he has. Has your father apologized to you?
He won't even admit to it. He denies my own face.
No, forget it.
Well, then forget it.
You're not ready.
I mean, he tells me I'm lying and that I'm crazy and that, because I had a rough childhood and my teenage years were pretty bad, you know. I mean,
what happened to your childhood?
My mom and dad married and divorced twice. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, we got taken away from my mom a time or two by CPS because her house was too messy.
Ooh.
And, I mean...
Oh, you're talking about...
Oh, my God.
She wasn't exactly abusive or nothing.
You're talking about dog and human and cat all mixed together, right?
A lot of big crap salad going on over there.
Yeah. I mean, it was pretty bad.
All right, but wait a minute. Your mom had to be an addict, right?
I don't know. She could have been.
I want Renee as a kid.
Yeah.
Your dad was shooting junk, right? Maybe. There's cat feces, a pyramid of cat feces that you used to have to shuffle out before we could open the front door.
Oh, cat feces.
But I don't know. Maybe. Building. I used to find syringes around in the empty Jack Daniel bottles with...
building sandcastles.
Don't know.
All right, listen.
All right, this
Renee,
is a disaster.
Relax. Yeah, relax.
Renee.
Just focus on yourself.
Your family's a disaster.
Focus on taking care of yourself. Do you work?
Yeah, I manage a restaurant.
Perfect. Don't have any kids.
Oh, God, I'm 6 months pregnant already.
No.
Do you have a husband?
I've been married for almost 5 years, though.
Wow.
Well, who's the same guy, huh?
Uh-huh.
And, all right, so you guys are going to have a kid. That's enough, though. You have any other kids?
No.
No, right. It's good time.
Listen,
good. She's fine. Ray, don't rock the boat here. Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
This is as good an outcome as you could drove for. A stable relationship, good job. Come on.
Yeah.
Don't screw
around. You're doing great.
Yeah.
Listen.
Good for you.
And listen, everybody. I know it's my message to tell everyone to tell their family to F off. But if your family did horrible things to you, you owe them nothing. I mean, if your mom had, if you lived in a goddamn habit trail because your mom was a junkie and had hamsters and rats and roaches and cats running all over the place to the point where they had to take you out, and your dad felt you up when you were 11, but good, they're both off the Christmas card list.
And if he or she is genuinely in recovery, they will understand that this was part of the destructive carnage of their disease, and they will accept that.
Yeah.
They prefer to have a relationship, but they understand their disease.
And meanwhile, you have your husband, you have a child on the way.
Yeah.
You got that TGI Fridays to manage. I'm trying to think. Where do you think she works? Renee?
Uh-huh.
What kind of restaurant is it?
Huh?
What kind of restaurant?
It's a fast food restaurant.
Jack in the Box.
Does it have a clown? Does it involve a clown?
Or a bell?
It's a fried chicken place.
Uh-huh. It's got a crazy name that we'd get a laugh out of?
No.
What's the name?
I don't want to say the name because I don't want people I work with to know.
It's the Colonel, though, right?
Oh, no. The Colonel's the enemy.
Oh, okay. Ooh, Popeyes. Popeyes.
Pollo de Bill.
Popeyes. They got shrimp over there. I got lots of popcorn shrimp. Shouldn't there be a class action lawsuit against Popeyes or Colonel's any day now?
For what?
Just deep frying their spoons. That could be their own thing. Like, I can see they're having a board meeting. They're like, we deep fried everything that's come through the front door. Bob, I got it. What? Deep fried sporks. Keep talking. I'm listening. We take the spork, we roll it in batter, and we deep fry it. That way, every bite of everything, even when you're eating the dessert, you're getting something deep fried. You're eating the potatoes, you're eating macaroni and cheese, whatever it is, you get a little deep fried flavor on it. True. Mark my word, shrimp flavored deep fried sporks. This is the next breakthrough.
It's the future.
It's the future of fast food.
I see it.
This is going to be huge.
It's big.
All right. Adam Rodriguez is here tonight from CSI Miami, CBS, Monday nights, 10 o'clock. Number one show. On Monday night. We'll take ourselves a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew, the world's worst radio host. He's talking. Okay. Our guest is Adam Rodriguez from CSI Miami. Now, Chris, don't get him. Let's see how long this jackass stands out in the hall. Jesus Christ. Adam Rodriguez, CBS, Monday nights, 10 o'clock, CSI Miami.
Where's Dr. Drew?
Drew's joined us now. It's great, great. Drew and I go out, you know, during the break, 4-minute break. We get a cup of coffee. We hang out. We talk a little by the water cooler. We come back here. We have a little more of a conversation.
When did the lights go on outside here?
Listen, Drew goes on and has a lengthy conversation.
I'm really sorry.
I'm the world's stupidest doctor, everybody. The guests never know because the guests are like, well, I guess the host's out talking to me. The show couldn't have started.
Hey, you can't blame it on me.
No, I apologize.
Not Adam's fault. I had to kick these guys out because they were talking about Mystic River. Drew didn't see the end, and Adam saw the end, and they had to discuss what happened at the end. And I said, you got to get out because I may want to see it. And then they went out and just
stayed there.
Would you guys go out to eat or just go out in the hall?
Yeah, we rewrote the ending.
All right. You got squared away?
Yeah, it's all set.
Everything's good? All right. You know, whenever I announce Don't Give Me the End of the Movie, I never end up seeing that movie.
You'll see this. You'll see this.
Yeah, well, yeah. All right. I'm going to see that Master and Commander,
too. Yeah,
you've
got to see that one. That's crazy.
Love that big stuff.
Wow.
Love that ocean stuff.
Yeah, I got to check that out.
Epic. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Could be nothing nothing hairier than back in the day, a few hundred years ago, just getting in one of those schooners and hitting the open sea. Yeah,
this takes you. You're there. Remember the experience? I said, what would it feel like to do these things? You really can't imagine it until you get inside it like this.
Bad times out there. Hey, you got a wooden ship made by drunk guys.
They're hurling metal at you.
Oh, cannonballs. I'll tell you, there's a handful of things historically that don't get it. The guys don't get enough credit for it. That's one of them. Those guys. They're the guys flying like the B-29s over Berlin around mid-40s there, just shrapnel going everywhere. That doesn't sound like a great gig either.
Right, right.
Like, it's hairy enough just sitting in one of those planes and flying, just taking off and landing 100 times, you know? Yeah. Now you're getting shot at.
Yeah.
Imagine.
Not just shot at, but, I mean...
Hey, you fly in an airplane, somebody stands up, pulls out a hat pin, the whole place panics, right? Now you got... You have Messerschmitts just buzzing by with like 40-millimeter cannons, drilling holes, stuff flying through the plane you're in. Yeah. No problems.
And your plane is filled with nothing but explosives.
You're just sitting on top of a bunch of bombs and fuel. Yeah, the only thing you have more than bombs is fuel. Oh, I just these guys. We should never be done thanking them. Jessica.
Hi.
Yeah. So you got to put things in perspective. But I'm still mad at the valet parkers that have my sports car seat up too close.
That's good.
That's why these guys liberated this country. You know, they made it free so I could get pissed at valets. Jessica.
Yeah.
You're 16?
Uh-huh.
What's up?
First of all, I love you guys. But anyway, okay, I have a question. My boyfriend is 20 years old, and for the beginning of our relationship, he thought I was 19 because we met in college and stuff like that, and we started going out. And I actually, slept with him. I was a virgin before that, and I slept with him, and he thought I was 19 and stuff, and it was all going good. And then last week, he found out I was 16 because my sister told him. And
That bitch.
How old's your sister?
She's 18.
Did she know not to tell him, or did she do it on purpose?
I've gone out with a lot of guys before when they thought I was older, and my sister never said anything, but this relationship went really fast.
How'd you meet the guy? What are you doing in college at 16?
I've called you guys before. I've been taking college classes since I was 13. And
I remember Jessica.
I was in college. I was taking junior high classes.
To meet older guys or because you really want to go study?
No. Didn't we talk to you like a year and a half ago or something like that?
Well, no. Actually, this spring. It was the whole Trichotillomania mania and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Pulling her hair out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you guys really met her?
So. Yeah, she's called
before. We talked to her. We didn't meet her. We try to not meet anyone who calls the show.
Well, the age of consent is 16 in Minnesota, right?
I think it's 18. I'm not sure.
I've got a piece of paper here that's, I don't know if it's outdated.
Are you calling from Minnesota?
Yeah. 16 is what it says in my little handy book here.
Oh, that's good.
All right, so what's the deal?
The whole deal is that after he found out my age, he was all confused and stuff for 2 days, and then he went back to normal, and then that got me thinking that he's just in it for sex, because we have sex a lot. Last night we had sex 5 times.
Jessica, she's processing a 16-year-old, not a 20-year-old. That's the problem here.
Yeah,
a 20-year-old male is having a relationship because of sex. Period. That's all 20-year-old males. That doesn't mean he doesn't care about you very much.
Yeah, he just wants to pound the back out of you, really, is what 20-year-old guys try to do. I mean,
plus, in his mind, even though you're telling him now you're 16, you're still 19 to him, because that's how
he's
gotten
to know you. It's
got to freak him
out. It's got to be weird, because he thinks of 16-year-olds when he was 16. It was you know, junior in high school.
She's in college. Plus, she's calling from Minnesota.
But it sounds like he's come around, though. He's okay with it, right?
He's come around.
Yeah.
Bringing the bejesus out of her. He gave it some thought. And by the way, I like when guys take a couple days to think about something, that's just their nutsack getting filled with semen. That's what the 2 days is. And then he agreed to bang the bejesus out of me again. He gave it some thought. He did a little soul searching. And
checked with the cops.
At the end of the 48 hours, decided to bang me again. It's a big man right there.
But Jessica, just go slow. Again, 16, even though you're cognitively super developed, your intellect is super developed, your emotional systems may not be keeping up quite where they should be in terms of who you're, what?
Yeah, that was the whole deal. The reason why I actually had sex with him, because I was really adamant about not having sex, but then I moved out of my house because my mother was kind of abusive and stuff like that, and I moved into an apartment. And so I was really, like, emotionally fragile, and that's how I started having sex.
Oh, boy.
So
where are you going to school?
I go to the University of Minnesota.
Okay.
Is that the Golden Gopher?
Yes, the Golden Gophers, and there are no such thing as Golden Gophers, I know.
Yeah, what's up with that? All right, listen, look, that's a rodent, by the way.
Yeah, but with sharp teeth.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, beavers are the same thing. They just live near the water.
Beavers are noble, though. They chop trees down. They make dams. They have those flat tails. Yeah. They do that padding with them.
They
have a nice
cartoon
pelt.
Characters and things.
Yeah, yeah, gophers just eat roots and, you know, farmers shoot at them and stuff. They don't do anything. You don't want any animal that burrows. Yeah, as a mascot.
Right.
He digs a hole, climbs in the ground. Yeah.
Mighty moles.
Yeah, the only one is a badger.
Oh, yeah.
Badger is a den.
Oh, yeah.
That's a mean animal there.
Don't they take over other animals' holes, though?
They kick them out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's okay.
Yeah. They hold Jack. I rented that. Yeah, badgers are badgers okay. I'd like to talk to the people. Drew, you had the Lord Jeffs for your school.
Oh, yes.
Adam, did you go to
the Lord Jeff?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Lord Jeff.
No, I had the Rams.
Were you Colorado?
No, New York.
Which one?
School called Clarkstown North.
That's fine. Rams. And here's the other thing, too. Like, people go, oh, there's too many Rams. Or, who cares? They're all good.
Right.
You never have enough Bears or Rams or Tigers or
Gladiators.
Yeah, anything like that. Yeah, you don't have to go Gopher just to be unique. And you putting golden in front of it, it's like putting gold in front of the word crap. Hey, the gold, this ain't crap. This is golden crap. No, that's just more crap. All right. Did we help her, Drew?
I think so.
Okay.
Told her to calm down. We want to get back to real quick. Just check. Come on. She's our buddy.
She's our buddy because she called the show before?
Yeah.
Jessica?
Yeah.
All right. You get what we're saying?
What are we saying?
We're saying he probably does care about you a great deal. He's a little freaked out about this, but he sounds like he's sort of adjusted to it. It seems like you're within the age of consent. You need to go slower, just generally. I understand it's because you're vulnerable that it got going, but take it easy. He probably does care a great deal about you, but he is interested in sex because he's a 20-year-old male.
Okay, so right? I shouldn't like leave him or anything like that.
You might want to have more talks with him about what his, you know, how he's feeling and what the sort of priorities are in this relationship for him, and you too express your own feelings.
Nah, I would guess if Jessica
does that really change the interest in sex from 20 to when I was. I mean,
when does it change? Yeah, when
that doesn't ever change, does it?
Yeah, you start losing your will to live.
Start waiting to die.
Yeah,
start waiting
40,
to die.
45. Yeah,
yeah, coming for me.
So I mean, then what do you look for at that point?
The Grim Reaper. You look for death.
Yeah,
it's all right. Yeah. No, it's all right. It's a relief. You're at peace.
Me.
You're finally at peace. I like when they
start
do that.
Start crossing against the light. You're just looking for anything. Right?
Yeah, you see the light. You start sprinting. Then you hear those words. No, now it's night time. F you. I'm going.
I said no.
And you dive. Yeah. You look at that light. It's like when the elevator doors are closing and you're running late for a meeting. You don't wait for the next one. You stick your hand in there, knock it open. It's like when people do that too. Now you got 12 people all pissed off. Not going to be another elevator, Brian.
Hey, Adam.
23.
It's an honor. It's a pleasure. Great. This is the first time I've ever called a radio show and gotten through, so...
I recognize this voice somehow.
Please be patient with me.
Watch out, Drew recognizes your voice.
You're gay.
Drew, please. Please.
No, no, actually, I'm not gay.
Go ahead, Brian.
Here's the situation. I've been listening to your show for a while. Dr. Drew is always really quick when somebody has a compulsive addiction to say, okay, you need help, go get treatment, etc.
Yeah.
However, you know, on the kinky sex side, it's like, hey, kinky sex, cool, whatever, do what you feel like, go right ahead. And
but by the way, I don't think we've ever we've said fine, whatever, but it means something.
Yeah, we always say it means something.
Okay.
But we just don't think we're going to be able to talk you out of.
We don't judge you for. We don't talk you out of it. We say, hey, it means something.
You like to watch chicks and heels squash bugs while you beat off.
That means something.
It's going to be hard to talk you out of that.
But it means something.
The weirder it is, the harder it is to talk you out of it.
And the more it means.
Thank you.
Right.
All right. So what are you into?
Okay. Well, I'm into something known as infantilism, which basically means you get off acting like a baby or treating somebody else like a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And...
which side of the diaper are you on?
Both sides.
Oh, you're both sides.
Either side. Yeah.
Being your side of the diaper.
Either side would be cool.
No preference.
No preference. But you know what? I've never actually had the opportunity to do it with a female. The one woman that I ever brought this up to was my ex-wife, mm-hmm. who. Probably contributed to the...
How old are you, man?
I'm 23. Seriously.
Hang on, Jen, Brian. We got to take a break here. Well, let's continue. We got to dig here a little bit. So.
Okay. Yeah. Sure.
Well, you sound... I can tell you're an intelligent guy. You do something with computers or something like that.
He reminds me of James. Remember James, the dog guy?
The guy was... his dog was effing him.
Yes.
That was a twist. That's what made it okay.
Yeah, but doesn't he feel like that same caller?
Yeah, these guys are always the same. They're the same guy. They're smart guys. They have high IQs. They're useless. They can't figure out how to make any money or get laid with them. And by the way, now hold
they're
on
useless
a second,
to you.
Brian. Well, here's what you get. You get a guy with a super high IQ that doesn't translate into a nickel or an ounce of poontang, and now you have an angry man.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? Who has to run around explaining how much smarter he is than all the other guys that are getting laid more and making more money.
Uh-huh.
You see what I'm saying? That's this could be Brian.
But
they also have a sort of a good sense of humor.
Yes,
in their own.
We've got that at least.
Yeah, so we've got that.
Let's
all right. Adam Rodriguez is here tonight from CSI Miami, Monday nights, 10 o'clock on CBS. We'll take a quick break, and then when we get back, we'll get the bomb of Brian and the playing. And it's not just playing a five-year-old or something. It's playing
infant,
a baby.
Which means
right?
Poo and pee.
Oh, this is going to be good after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. This week we got Pink and Kathy Griffin. Dear, 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 dear friend. Puddle of Mud. Rob Schneider coming in next week. Blink 182. And, all sorts of big names, thanks to producer Ann. Adam Rodriguez, speaking of big names, in here tonight, CSI Miami, Monday nights on CBS, 10 o'clock. And let's Drew, you ever watch those shows like that do all that forensic stuff, all the autopsy stuff, all that stuff? It's good stuff.
Yeah.
I like that stuff.
Yeah, it's thought-provoking.
Yeah, that's kind of nice. I mean, it's kind of nice we've moved that way, from viewing standards too, or viewing habits too. People kind of interested in the technical side.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing stuff. I mean, the way that they are able to track down and prove who done it these days is
they do all that. They do all that, and then I'm sitting home getting drunk, watching 2020 Friday night, and I got to see. That guy Durst, whose wife was missing, and then his best friend was missing, and then he dismembers his neighbor, and he's like, we got to let him walk.
Are you serious?
Yeah. It's great. It's a great story.
Accidentally killed a guy, and then had to cut him apart because he freaked out.
Yeah, I always like that. I always like that, too, like when people go, what happened? Well, I showed up. He was drunk. He started threatening me. He lunged at me, so I shot him. And then what? Then I had to dismember his body and throw it in the lake. Well, okay, I'm with you up and, you know.
And I can't remember what I was doing because I was too loaded.
I'm with you on the whole self-defense part until the part where you start actually hacking the guy's limbs off him and toss him in a lake. And then people go, well, no, I thought no one would believe me. And then my answer to that is,
I don't.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You're smart to try to get away with it. And here's the deal,
but
too.
He did. He got away with the guy.
He did. But here's the whole
thing. What happened to the wife?
They don't know where she is. And that's the other thing, too. It's like when they do that whole thing where they go, like, well, the woman's first husband died, and drowned out in the lake, no witnesses. And then the second one died, and then the third one died. Now they're looking into the fourth one. Go ahead and assume the first three had something to do with her.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of patterns. But here's the thing. As a criminal, once you make your move to get away, then you're guilty. That's what I mean. Like, once you're OJ, once you got the cash and the Richard Nixon mask and you're heading for the border, you're now officially guilty.
Yeah, there's really no other explanation.
Yeah, like, really. Like here's the thing. Like, you got a choice to make. Like, if Adam and I, let's just say nothing gay goes on, but let's hey, we get along good after how about you come over, we blow a doobie. How about that?
You can't see that? I knew there was a gay undertone to this whole thing.
Hey, it was
blow something.
Yeah,
we blow a J over at the Ace Man's place after the show. And we get in a little argument over CSI Vegas versus CSI Miami.
Yeah, the deal is he blows you and he's embarrassed and he's got to do something with you.
It gets ugly.
This doesn't involve wearing diapers.
No. We'll talk about that in a minute.
You lunge at me with a fireplace poker. I turn it on you. You land on it.
Why do I have to die?
I got it. Well, because I'm telling the story.
All right, go ahead.
I mean, I got a host tomorrow,
too. So I'm dead. You did me a favor.
I got to. That's right. I got to make a decision at that part. Do I dismember the body, or do I call the police and say, hey, horrible accident / tragedy happened here? Yeah. Once I go the dismemberment route, there's no going back on that road. Yeah. Now, I have to hope I get away with it. If I then get caught after dismemberment, now I'm guilty.
Yeah.
Let's just go ahead and do it that way. Yeah? Yeah. All right, Drew, what do you want to do?
I ran out of time. I want to talk
ran
to Brian.
Out of time?
We're running out. I want to talk to Brian.
Well, it's just Adam lunch at me with the poker.
I know. It's very upsetting.
Just lie there?
No, he called
and make
a report.
Drove around me in your trunk for 3 days while you thought about
it. So, Brian, what do you do in this infantilized state?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, geez. pretty much everything. Just about everything you could possibly...
Do you cry?
Actually, no. No, I don't do that.
You pee and poo.
Jesus Christ, I'll tell you
do
that.
Do you have sex with a person?
I haven't, like I said, I haven't had that opportunity.
But that's part of the fantasy.
Yeah, that is part of the fantasy.
Does the pee and poo figure into the fantasy, or is it just...
Yeah, it figures into the fantasy.
Oh, I know, but hold on.
This is all by yourself? So you said you hadn't done this with anybody.
No, he wants to do it.
It's a fantasy that I have that I would like to do with other people. There are a couple other people I have, met online that, you know, have mentioned to me their lives, you know, and the situation and blah, blah, blah. And
are they female?
Female. Always female. Yeah.
He's no weirdo, Drew. Come on, buddy.
Yeah. This isn't,
I mean, is this something
I mean, honestly,
that you've done on your own?
I can tell you from doing the research on this that it's like half the people who do this stuff are, in fact, gay. But, you know, I'm
right. All right.
Not.
Now, Adam brings up a good question, which is, what you have gotten into the diaper, right?
Right.
And you do that alone.
Right.
And you duke yourself and then you beat off?
Yeah.
All right. See, I do it in the other order. I beat off the duke. It's just because I'm too lazy to move.
That's
just going to be
relaxes
bad.
The
I'm
body. You let everything else go.
Let it go. Let it all go. All right. Yeah. Now what do you think caused this, Brian?
You know, this is... I actually, you were right when you said before, you know, I'm like one of those guys with high IQs that likes to say, you know, how smart I am and everything. I actually have a clinical, a degree in psychology, kind of a clinical psychology focus. And probably I would say what caused this is probably when I was being toilet trained, I was a rough toilet training and my parents, you know, weren't...
Didn't do a good job with you.
Do you have any memories of something? Any standout memories, recurrent dreams, or anything?
You know, like when I was three or actually, it must have been when I was four that you know, I was in my bedroom and there were some diapers, you know, sitting in the closet of my room, and I grabbed one, put it on, and you know, I think my
was there something happened going in your family at that point? Were they falling apart or something, or going away?
Yeah. There's always kind of an underlying stress going on in my family, you know, pretty much throughout my childhood.
All right, so here's the question then.
Okay.
You have this, which it's going to make it hard for you to find a mate. I mean, it just let's be straightforward here. You're going to have a hard time finding a good woman.
That goes along with that.
And if she does go along with it,
then she's not good.
She might be the kind of person you want to marry and raise a family with. So I would suggest a guy like Brian try to break himself of this.
Yeah, I think you find other ways to be intimate. Once you got going down the fetish path, you start relying on the fetish as a way of being sexual.
That's what I'm going
to
do.
And he's had it contained. He had to keep it that way.
I'm going to do a whole potty training thing for adults.
Dude,
where I re-potty train them.
It's pretty clear.
In a
trauma.
Loving,
Brian, do you have
way.
Problems getting girls otherwise?
We got to go to break.
Oh, he's gone?
Yeah.
Okay, we got to go.
I'm going.
Right, man,
I'm going to go with yes.
Yeah, he seems to have a little trouble.
All right.
Trauma again. Trauma survivorship is what it's all about.
Try to beat
regression in the face of trauma.
All right. Get over it. We'll be back. All right. Anderson with us. Once in a while, Anderson goes like 3, 2, 1, go. And then every once in a while, he goes, go! It just means something happened. Hey, good times. Love line, Adam. That's Dr. Drew.
Whatever.
Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Adam Rodriguez is here tonight from CSI Miami on CBS. 10 o'clock on Monday nights. The number one show on Monday night. Thank you very much. And tomorrow night, Puddle of Mud's going to be in here. And then Pink, who did a very impressive job singing at the AMAs tonight. Good pipes, that girl. All over the place, by the way. Pink was everywhere about 2 years ago,
oh, yeah,
3
yeah.
years ago, and then
back.
Sort of got a little under the radar, and then pow.
Yeah, she's coming back now.
You always think about like Britney Spears, you know, doing this, doing that, doing, you know. You think to yourself, Jesus Christ, don't they got to be miserable just being sort of everywhere
constantly.
At once?
Yeah.
I was watching the, I was over, Jimmy was hosting the American Music Awards tonight, so I was over there watching, and you know, the whole, like, you see these Britney Spears, big flashy opening with all the choreographed this and that, and you think, you know, that's not walking out and winging it. That means you got to get there, you got to rehearse, there's all these tech rehearsals, there's all this choreography.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not just the kind of thing where you just blow in,
but I was assuming
wave to the crowd and blow out
they're
again.
They're probably already doing that stuff on their tours or something. You know, that's just some scene of one of their tour performances.
I'm sure there's variations
they still
of
have,
it, but
mind you, they still have to rehearse and stuff.
It just seems like a royal pain in the ass.
Yeah.
I'd be a horrible.
It's hard work.
That whole choreographing stuff. I'd always be like, we'll get out there. It'll come to us. And I'd just get out there.
We'll
just
freestyle. We'll get out of it.
Yeah.
That is you, boy. That is you.
It'll be fine. Yeah. It's going to be good.
Who wrote this crap? I'm not going to do this.
Remember we did the, Teen Choice Awards?
Oh, yeah.
Who are we going out there with?
Daisy Fuentes.
Daisy Fuentes. Mm-hmm. And Daisy's like, we're all standing behind. We're about ready to go out. And she's like, well, what are we going to do? And I'm like, well, we're not going to do what's on the teleprompter. And she goes, what do you mean? And I said, well, we'll just, you know, we'll do our own thing out there. We'll wing it. And she's like, I want to do what's on the teleprompter. I said, no. I said, listen, Daisy, 50 years from now, aren't you going to tell people you just went out there and just winged it? And she goes, I'm worried about tomorrow. And I thought, yeah, it's true, because 50 years from now, we'll be dead or won't matter.
No one will care that you winged it.
Tomorrow, when people are telling you how much you sucked, that's more important.
So what happened was we get out there, we're introducing the best love scene in the film. And Adam goes, I just want everyone to know I personally masturbated every one of these scenes. Teen Choice Awards.
Oh, that's great. Yeah,
that's back when it was racy. It's the older Teen Choice. That's 18, 19. Hey, but good times. Well, it's been a while.
Did the kids like it? Did they clap, or were they like, "What are you talking about, man?"
Oh, no, they know what he's talking about.
I think they had an idea. They probably went for that.
Teen Choice Awards. Oh, David?
You haven't been back since?
It's been a while. I'll be back, mark my words. If I have to bum rush the stage, I'll be back. Me and Fuentes together again.
We did it again, didn't we?
We did it like 3 years, I think. Yeah. Now it's a big deal, that Teen Choice Awards.
Get rid of us. Yeah.
We got to get rid of Carole and Drew. We'll get this thing back on the charts. David?
Hello?
You're 17?
Yeah.
What's up?
I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller. And
great.
My question is, my girlfriend is 15, and she still has her hymen. She's a virgin. Mm-hmm. And I just wondered, is it possible for her to use a female condom when we have sex?
It's actually a great question.
Mm.
Interesting question.
Mm.
I imagine it's possible, but it might be more difficult, and for some women it might be nearly impossible.
When you get into that hymen, I mean...
How far in?
Well, let's look at it this way. Let's say you got a waste paper basket, you know, not a garbage can, but an office can, you know, like you'd have next to the in your office, right?
Yeah.
And you want to put a trash bag liner, small trash bag in it. That's the female condom inside the thing.
Yeah, right.
Where does it run into the hymen? If the hymen's there, is it like having some balled up newspaper at the bottom of it?
No.
Doesn't quite get down that low?
See, it's like putting this is the opening. Here's where the hymen is in through here.
Ooh.
It's right there.
Well, you get to it.
Yeah, you get to it pretty fast.
What knuckle am I up to?
That's right.
First knuckle?
Yeah, first couple knuckles. Huh?
First couple knuckles.
So it's.
Wow. Never felt one of those before.
It's like cellophane.
Yeah? Is that what it feels like?
Oh, I don't know. I've actually never been with a virgin.
Yeah, me neither. Hey, David?
Yeah.
Well, I probably have been with a virgin. I just didn't get to nail them. You know what I mean? I probably just, like, grabbed a boob or something. Why do you want to use that female condom anyway? That just sounds like a horrible plan.
Yeah, why
horrible
go through
plan.
The hassle, man?
Yeah, why don't you just put a condom on?
Well, they seem stronger because they're not made out of latex, and I just didn't want to have any problems with it.
No. You just get...
What do they make them out of? Sandal soles?
Like I thought they're made out of latex or polyurethane. But be as it may, you just use a regular Trojan condom and just do what's simple and effective before you get into the fancy stuff.
Okay.
All right. Because those things are kind of hard to use.
Going
to
have sex. And by the way, yeah.
That's going to be weird for her, too, first time
stop.
We use female condom.
And by the way, your first time isn't weird enough. You're trying to... Trying to essentially pack a trash can liner
you
in your vagina,
condom.
Yeah.
Didn't she say? He said also she's 15.
Yeah,
yeah. Maybe too young.
Maybe just wait it out.
David, give her a couple of days. Yeah.
They're not gonna wait. Come on,
David. You gotta wait, buddy.
Okay.
How long you been with her?
Yeah, right.
Going on 9 months, I think.
Okay. Well, David's a little spazzy too, right? Mm. You're a virgin yourself, right, David?
Yeah.
Okay, I can hear that in your voice. All right, you kids just take it slow.
All right, Pops.
All right, buddy.
Thanks.
All right, good times. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's good. That female condom's horrible.
I couldn't imagine going through that on your first time.
And then keep the morning after pill handy. And or better yet, get her on the birth control pill before you have sex.
And picture getting the female condom going is like when you pull the drawstring out of your sweatpants and you're trying to get it back in there. It's taking you way, way too long. You start getting frustrated. The lights on and stuff. You know, the worst than the female condom is the dental dam. Remember this disaster,
what
Drew?
Is that?
It's a piece of latex.
What's a dental dam? Wow.
See that?
Yeah.
You take these
young guys.
Dental
I missed
dam.
The boat on this one.
You're lucky. You want to be
they
on
just
this
swallowed
boat.
In my neighborhood. I don't know what this dental dam is all
it's
about.
It's for guys.
It's for guys?
To use on girls.
Well, girls could use it on girls, too.
Yeah. It's to be used upon girls.
Sheet of latex that you just peel off probably like, you know when you buy the cheese that's already processed? You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Or the fruit rolls.
Yeah, right. Fruit roll up. Right. You roll that thing up, and you just put it over the infected area, this known as the vagina. And then you just have at it, like you're raping your car tire. You know what I mean? Ridiculous.
Come on, who the hell used that?
You're like you're going down on a galosh.
If you use that, call in, please. I got to hear about this.
So it's like you spread that thing and say, baby, you must be low. You're licking the latex.
We're actually
Jesus
supposed to
Christ.
Teach them to take a regular condom and cut the tip off, and then cut along the long axis, and then you roll it out. See, right? Can you imagine that?
And then you're putting your licking
then
a condom,
you lick
basically.
The condom. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At a certain point, don't you go, look, babe, no, just thanks. Dance while I beat off.
Yeah.
Like at a certain point, it doesn't take much, by the way, for me to get
you
to
just
that
go
threshold.
To the strip club at
you
that
just
point.
Dance. Just... I'll beat my meat. I'll give you $20. Everyone's happy. We don't have to cut up the condoms.
Yeah, get a pair of scissors. Do you have a pair of scissors? Do
you, you got? Swiss Army knife. I guess that'll work. Yeah, Jesus. That dental dam never caught on, by the way. Nick,
I wonder why.
It's always funny when, because, you know, during the whole AIDS thing and stuff, all the healthcare people say, well, you have to use a dental dam. They must have known that no one
no,
would
no,
ever
it was,
use this.
They were very serious about it.
Serious about it, but no one else
they did
was.
Not think that people wouldn't do it. And then now Trojan, I've been working for them the last few months. They're trying to come up with something that's tasty or taste something to make it reasonable.
What are the chances of getting an STD?
Orally?
Giving a woman oral sex.
Same as
well,
mucosal services touching.
Yeah. It's not for like HIV though.
No, it's hard to get HIV.
And what's hepatitis?
Easy to get harder.
Certain things. Certain kind of
hard
blood
to get.
Are
easy to get herpes. Easy to get syphilis. Easy to get gonorrhea in the throat.
Yeah,
that's not good.
A good time. So.
Yeah, good times. Yeah.
Nick.
Yeah. Hey, man.
You're 14. What's up?
Yeah, I have a marijuana addiction. I just want to know what's the best way to, you know, get past that, break it and all that.
Well, it's a chronic illness that you've sort of triggered here. And having done so at a young age, it becomes even more important that you deal with it in a very systematic and appropriate way. And you've got to get involved with people.
Yeah, how would I go about that, actually?
Well, you live in Chicago. You live in a big city. You want to look for a psychiatrist who has experience with addiction medicine or call an addiction medicine program.
You know, the diaper guy was calling from the Chicago area, and he was was a therapist, I think.
No,
so
he just had some training.
Well, I'm saying, you guys hook up. He's got a roller skate. You got a key.
Here's how I'd approach it is... Call AA locally, ask for MA meetings, Marijuana Anonymous. Go to one of those meetings and ask for referrals for doctors that are used to dealing with this. And someone will help you get through it. But it's going to be something you're going to have to contend with for quite some time in terms of managing the disease of addiction.
How much do you smoke? I mean, what do you consider an addiction?
Like every other day.
Every other day?
Like, since you were how old?
I'm 14.
Since you were how old did it start?
Oh, when I was 11.
Start at 11, you'd do it every day if you could, right?
Yeah,
it's a daily thing, and he can't stop, no matter how much he wants to stop. No way.
Well, hold on, it's weird, though, to have any 14-year-old telling us about an addiction to marijuana.
Well, it's kind of nice, actually, because most of my heroin addicts started with pot about 11 to 14, and they don't deal with it, and it gets going, and they run the course of usual marijuana addiction, which it stops working down the road. They start looking for other solutions to that. They find their way to speed or heroin or something, and pow.
The only reason I really want to deal with this is because my parents' religion and all that, so... My mom's Catholic and my dad's some Protestant. I don't know, one of those branches.
Well, listen, whatever motivates you, deal with it. But it's not a religious thing. It's a biological disorder that you've triggered.
Wow.
And that's it. It has to be dealt with. And it needs treatment. It does not get better by itself. It will get better for periods of time sometimes, but will not stay better. And the consequences progress with time.
All right,
when you start at 8 to 11.
Times,
and Robert Downey is a great classic example. Someone starts pot when they're 8 to 11. It's just that is that story.
What are you saying? He had a problem with drugs?
I think there's something said about
say that.
Really, yeah.
Now, what is the deal? Is he not doing drugs now? He's just weird, right?
I haven't talked to him in a while.
A handful of guys out there.
Getting married, I think. I saw something on TV the other day.
Get married again?
A few times.
Get married, yeah.
You got is he remarrying his old
wife? No. You got your Robert Downeys, and you got your David Arquette's. And
the movie that he just
You got your Andy Dix. You got your guys out there that you can't, at a certain point, you don't know if they're just nuts or they're effed up on drugs or they actually stopped. They seem better when they were doing the drugs.
All right. Don't encourage them.
All right, I won't. Right, Robert's a dear, dear friend, actually. He's been on the show a few times. He even called me at home once. I don't know what he
for
what did he want.
That scares me.
Something. I think he wanted to score.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
As they say, out the gate by 8, in the spoon by noon, back again by 10.
Mm. Mm. That's what they say.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got to be nice. You go into the joint, they release you. Out the gate. All right. Come on, buddy.
That's the other
bringing me down.
That singing detective supposed to be great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's talent, no doubt about it. Katie?
Katie? Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, you're 20. What's going on?
Yes. I was recently diagnosed with endometriosis, and they let me know that one of the side effects was pain in the pelvis during sexual intercourse. And so every time I have sex, it's just really painful. And I was wondering if you guys knew of any way that this could be relieved.
You got to rub coke on your cooch.
Well, it's two things.
That's the only way. Crew tells me off the air. That's the only way he could deal with those patients.
One is,
hold still,
my
as
first
he says.
Question is, why wasn't your endometriosis treated? Because if that's controlled, the pain will go away.
See, I have a really bad case. It's growing up around my spine, and I have it all over my uterus. They went in.
Why wasn't it treated?
Well, they just found out about it. They did a surgery in December, and they couldn't take it all out at once, and they're doing another one because I have cysts again.
Were you ever molested?
No, I was not ever molested.
You sure?
No, I wasn't. What are you talking about?
Well, because that's the other way that women get unexplained pelvic pain that can't be controlled.
No.
It's a very, very common way, in fact, that happens. So. And that's why the reason we jumped on that is, why are you calling if you're having your endometriosis aggressively treated? Because that's obviously the treatment for your pain.
Sure. Let me ask you a trick question.
Right,
hold on, hold on. Katie, listen to me. Were you ever not molested?
I've never been molested.
Okay. Thought I could trick her.
Right, nice try.
Okay. So anyway, Drew, what you need to do?
You need to continue to focus on the treatment with endometriosis. There's lots of treatments, including various kinds of hormonal therapies, and obviously as you were going through the laparoscopic surgeries.
Yes.
Yeah, you got to get it done. Then the other thing to know is that endometriosis at 20 can really affect your fertility, and so you have to be thinking about
it. Yeah, they almost took out my my ovaries in December because I had it all over. And
were you physically abused or something? Did somebody hit you when you were growing up?
No.
What is this just smack of that for me?
What?
Do what?
Nothing. You know your dad? Good guy?
Yeah, I know. My parents are divorced.
Uh-huh. Stepdad?
My dad?
Do you have a stepdad?
No, I don't.
No. Mom never remarried?
No.
All right. Why'd they divorce?
He was physically abusive. He threw me through a window.
That's what I'm talking about. Didn't I just say that?
I don't know, Drew. You said hit, not thrown through a window.
Who?
Katie, you just cry out abuse survivor. It just screams out.
Hold on a second. I got yelled at everyone who's listening to the show right now, which is people bother us all the time. Is that, why do you always insist that people are in there? And this goes down in people's heads, by the way, is even if they say they weren't molested or even if they say they weren't physically abused, you just badger them until they say, well, one time my dad was handing me a cup of cocoa and he did spill some of it on my foot and it burnt my big toe. Aha! Then you were physically abused.
No, that's not what we do.
We feel something, especially Drew, feels like, wait a minute, there's got to be something here, like you'd want a good doctor to do. And you go after it a little, and people are evasive, and they're like, no. Well, they divorced, but that's about it. And then you find out he threw you through a window, and that's why we pursue it. This isn't Drew telling her.
He's like a CSI.
Yeah.
That's right. Sometimes.
Except for with no ratings. It's like CSI.
And no talent.
Yeah, if nobody watched CSI, that's what Drew would be like. All right, so where the
hell Katie, yeah. The deal is the way you
present.
Yeah, the way you present.
But you never asked if I had been physically abused. That's if I had been molested.
He did it.
No, we asked a couple times if you've been hit growing up.
I thought you meant recently haven't been hit.
No, I said growing up as a child.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear
Okay,
you.
So you have profound physical abuse. And one of the outcomes of that, a common outcome of that, is your body disconnects from other integrated functions of your brain and becomes a source of pain. It has no other way to tell tales of woe or to communicate with you except very primitive means, and pain is one of the ways that it does so.
Okay.
And so pelvic pain and back pain, these things can often be the result of physical abuse. So in addition to getting your endometriosis treated, I would strongly urge you to get some serious counseling from someone who has history of dealing with trauma survivorship.
All right. And Drew, there's a few red flags that pop up in the screwball department. Well, not screwball, but the victimized department.
Pelvic pain is one.
Pelvic pain's one, yes. And the more graphic they get about the case, the nuttier Drew thinks, the more psychologically driven it is.
But here's the deal. She's already under treatment.
Right.
Why is she calling us? So already it's a kind of a crazy situation. So immediately my senses go up. And obviously the treatment for endometriosis is aggressive treatment of the endometriosis. But I'm sure they've told her we're doing everything we can, but she still has pain and this and that. And you can feel that energy. It's like it's coming at you like a freight train.
Yeah.
And that means something. It means it's all out there. Everything's out there.
So, I mean, as soon as they start treating it, that alleviates the pain?
If they're successful. But when people have we have the sense that everything's out there, outside of their body boundaries, you know there's a trauma.
All right. But listen, this must drive the doctors nuts. Because then they don't know.
A lot of them don't know. We're not really that well trained in picking trauma stuff up. That's the thing. Really not. We kind of know that what the doctors get used to is like, oh, it's a pain in the ass. I've done everything I can. There's no real physical problem here. What am I supposed to do?
Now, what are the big red flag things? The endometriosis, the Epstein-Barr virus,
fibromyalgia,
chronic fatigue syndrome. The people that are chronic back pain, people who never really had a serious injury of any kind, that are younger.
I have L2, L3, L4, L5. Everyone does.
Whenever you hear any of that stuff.
That's automatically a sign of some sort of trauma.
Not automatically, but it's a red
99% of the time. 99% of the time.
It's time to look further.
Yeah. We just, as a society, we don't get into that enough.
No.
And by the way, first it was Epstein-Barr virus, and then it became like chronic fatigue syndrome, and then it fibromyalgia. And it's called being lazy and depressed.
Well, fibromyalgia is the new term for chronic fatigue syndrome.
Yeah, it used to be called neurasthenia.
Right.
And we just had to invent something
new. It's called being depressed.
That was back when they had the dental dam.
No, it's still chronic fatigue syndrome.
Now it's chronic fatigue syndrome.
That's how they should cure that with the dental dam. Just hold it over your head until you're smothered.
Take a break.
That'd be a good way to go, though. What do you do?
Dental dam death?
Dental dam.
Yeah. Choked on the dental dam.
That's right. I'll take a little break. Adam Rodriguez is here tonight from CSI Miami. Monday nights, 10 o'clock. CBS. We'll take a quick break. Be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Adam Rodriguez is our guest tonight.
Adam, what was your injury in baseball that prevented you from going on?
I actually had two. One season after the other, I had a back injury. I fractured
red flag.
Yeah, red flag. There it goes. No, I fractured my L5.
Steroids.
L5, junkie.
It's osteopenic from all the cocaine he was doing.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
So I fractured the L5, and then I tore my rotator cuff and bicep.
What position were you?
Right field.
Oof.
Yeah,
how'd you do the rotator cuff?
Falling?
I had a collision, actually. I dove to catch a ball, and I caught the ball, crashed into the center fielder, and knocked him back. It was pretty ugly. And then I jumped up and tried to throw the guy out who had actually ran. He didn't tag up, and I tried to gun the ball and throw him out. And I guess there was still trauma from the impact.
Yeah.
I threw right away, and I just heard my arms go... I knew that was going to be a problem.
Where'd you play?
I didn't even go further than high school. I had some offers coming in from colleges, and then that was pretty much the end of it. I fell
in love with acting.
Eventually, yeah, I did, actually.
You fell in love with a man before that.
Not quite.
Oh.
But no, I did. I mean, after that, I just lost focus. Yeah, I fell in love with this girl, and I just was like, put baseball to the back burner.
I'm trying to think of how many high school athletes a little consistent tail has ruined the career of. I mean, I could remember...
I don't know how far I would have gone. I mean,
necessarily.
Gets beaten to death. They put that in your bio, and it's like I've been answering that question for like the last 7 years.
I don't even mean like you would have played for the Yankees. All I'm saying is, even within high school, I had friends who were going to go off. They were starting playing football in the 11th grade when they were juniors, and the seniors, they may have been all city, started getting laid over the summer, and just said, "Screw it."
Yeah.
This is great. I'm 17 and I'm getting late.
that was a good part of my story. That was before the falling in love part. But yeah, why do
primate males go out and show off and stuff? That's they're looking for.
Yeah, but then once they get it, and it's no need to.
Why do it?
Yeah, well, who the hell wants to do two a days?
Well, I mean, you'd be good. Yeah, I mean, that's true. A lot of that is true. I mean, everything that guys do, I think, for the most part, has to do with getting laid.
Yes, you know? Everything.
I mean, just
that's
about
the
everything.
Motivational priority. I mean, it may not be the totality of what they're experiencing, but it's the priority.
Yeah. Absolutely.
The
motivational priority. And it's not a bad thing. I mean, it's just it's the thing that
makes
you want to be.
Well, the bad thing is that we don't talk about that as a culture, and women aren't taught to sort of help to deal with that because they don't think that way.
Right.
Yeah. They're thinking a little bit differently. They're not under that storm of testosterone.
Well, maybe.
And if they understand, we can't understand how guys work.
Right, exactly.
Look at the reality.
Maybe during the upcoming presidential election, they'll bring it up, some of the
candidates. I'm sure. Well, maybe Arnold will bring an awareness now that he's going to be governor.
Yeah. Adriana?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Yeah.
Did we bother you?
No.
Okay, sorry. I know it's late.
Hello.
Hello.
What's up?
Well, there's this guy, and I've known him for about 10 years, and we're really good friends. And, I like him a lot, but see, he doesn't know that. And, I want to tell him, but I don't know how he's going to react to that.
Mm-hmm. How old is he?
21.
How do you know him?
Huh?
How do you know him?
By my friend.
From your friend.
Yeah.
You sound like a delight, Adrienne. I can't imagine that any man would
How long have you known him?
10 years.
10 years.
10 years.
And how old are you?
She's 17.
17.
What's this guy doing now?
What do you mean?
Is he going to school? Is he working?
Yeah, he's working.
What kind of job?
At Taco Bell.
Ooh. Oh, what's not to love?
Bling, bling. Really?
Yeah.
What's going on? What's going wrong with your life, Adriana?
Nothing much.
Oh, really?
It's nothing much.
Something. First off, you're living in Whittier.
Yeah.
That's bad. That's a bad thing. I went out there one time to teach a traffic school at 8 in the morning on a Sunday. Horrible place at Whittier. Secondly, you're pining. Hold on. I'm putting her on hold. Things have gone wrong when you're pining over someone you've known for a long time and have never made a move. Meaning, when you're moving forward, you're going to college, you got your friends and your social life, your career, your work. There's always a new guy around every corner.
Right.
And it's, you're never thinking about that guy you've known since the fifth grade or whatever. That's the kind of thoughts you have when you're like in prison.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
or you're underdeveloped. You don't have the facility to go out and get your needs
met. Yeah, something's not going right for you, Adriana. What are you in high school?
Yeah, I'm still in high school.
How you doing in high school?
Fine.
You gonna graduate?
Yeah.
How often are you around this guy?
Huh?
Are you around this guy very often?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, here's the deal. He would have made a move.
No, like I'm afraid how he's gonna react. I don't know.
No.
If he was into you, see, this is another thing we have to tell the ladies. When a guy's into you and you've known him for a while,
he
works at Taco Bell, he's going to make the move.
Yeah.
Unless he looks at her in like, you know.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. He works at Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Game on. And let me tell you this.
There's no hope. Sorry.
I put an application in at Taco Bell. Rejected.
Yeah.
I was rejected from Taco Bell. Didn't quite, we're not cut out of Taco Bell cloth.
Not up to their standards.
Cut out of a different poncho, my friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, you may be better fit over at Mickey D's. She hit the bricks, kid. That's a little blow of the ego at 15 when Taco Bell shuts you down.
Bounce back.
Adriana, has this guy ever showed any interest in you that way?
Probably not, no.
Okay, then he's not interested. Where's the guys from your high school? How come they're not asking you out?
There's a couple of guys that have.
Yeah?
Well, there you go.
What's the problem?
I don't know. It's just, like, I really don't go for them. I'm more into, like, this guy, you know, a lot.
Sure.
Why, is this all of a sudden, or you always had a thing for him?
Huh?
Have you just started feeling this way all of a sudden, or did you always have a thing?
Right. Huh? Here's why I'm telling her to shut up, because I believe the huh is
a
not...
defense.
No, the huh is I need time to think and process, not I don't hear you. So it's a retarded way to go through life. Okay, here's the thing. First off, this guy's a cuticle smell of onions.
Yes.
That's always a bad thing. Mm. Smell a man's cuticles. It shouldn't smell like onions. Better to smell of transmission fluid or even semen. Anything better than onions. And if you get a compound, that's bad. You get onion and transmission fluid.
Bad
onion and semen and I've had the hat trick. That's bad.
That's a scary guy.
That means you've been beating off with an onion and tranny fluid.
Is this when you worked at McDonald's? Or?
Yeah, when I worked at McDonald's, I smelled of onion. Yeah, because I worked at grill.
See, they saw that coming at Taco Bell.
They you know, they're good over there, man. They're good. They saw you from a mile.
Well, that's the smell's cuticle.
You know, it's like being rejected from time. Sorry, buddy. We got retarded elderly people to hire. We can't hire you.
Go back to your potter's wheel.
We got an old retarded guy, actually. We got retarded elderly and a retarded elderly. Still can't hire you. Fantastic. All right, but look at who's laughing now, Hundra? Who's laughing?
Literally a millionaire.
Literally a millionaire. Look at me. Literally a millionaire.
Adriana, so listen, what we're trying to tell you is that you're obsessing about a guy who's probably not into you, and if he is, he would sort of come after an exploitative way. You know, it's because he wasn't into her. He saw an opportunity. He would just go for it.
Plus, he's 21. She's 17.
Not a good combo. And he works at Taco Bell. And his cuticle smells of the trifecta.
Come on. That's not crucify him for working at Taco Bell.
No. Nothing.
As long as he may have bigger aspirations.
No,
maybe he's going to school.
No, listen. We don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
She would have said, you're going to school, but right now.
Yeah, that's
his father could have worked at Taco Bell. His grandfather. His father before him. You know what I mean? They pass it on generationally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've always manned that sour cream squirter.
I like that. I like that you got the sour gun. Cream caulking gun there. Makes a little sound. Yeah, that's nice when you're holding the caulking gun filled with sour cream and you got a guy explaining to you dollop size. Hey, Corolla, that's silver dollar. I'm looking for quarter dollop size, all right? But let's get it right. Yeah, McDonald's was great for me. I just had to do the sweep and the mop of the dining area. That was great. Pushing the broom and then mopping behind me. Beautiful. Working the grill.
That's when the big bucks started rolling.
Got a little vest on.
It had my smock, had my polyester brown gi on, my paper hat, polyester brown slacks.
Good
wearing the shoes I wore for ninth grade graduation because they were leather. And you had to wear leather-soled shoes back then at the McDonald's. Could never figure out that. I was pretty good with the quarter pounders, but I could never figure out the Big Mac bun situation because you have to put them in the toaster. I would always have the thing flipped over the wrong direction or something, so the top side would get toasted, you know? Yeah. I'd give it to him anyway.
Of course.
We had our own speak over there. I'd say, burgers up, wrap, please. That meant it was time to wrap the burgers. Then they'd say, and then I'd also give them this one, cheese count on max, please. Then they'd say, cheese three, please. And I'd say, thank you. Yeah. We had a whole lingo over there. We knew
what
was going on.
Who was up front?
The beautiful people. Like, here's the crazy thing about me. I'm a talk show host, right?
Right.
Could not work the register. Get him back with the grill and the grunts.
Remember, though, you're the talk show host that has to be encouraged not to talk.
I didn't take a register test, though. They mainly stuffed me behind the grill.
Yeah.
Great stuff spattering on you all, searing everything. Oh, my God.
Joel. Yeah.
Hold on a second. You want time to drag. I mean, imagine, like, you're getting paid hourly.
These are signs of trauma.
$2.35 a goddamn hour.
He had a phase where he wanted to wear a diaper and crap himself.
Too late. I already crapped myself. $2.35 an hour, and here's how you spend that hour. Just standing there searing burgers. Flipping them, searing them. Just how much more slow do you think an hour could go than you just standing over molten grill searing things? Mm. Really? You know what 1 hour feels like doing that? Oh, yeah. I would want $10,000 for one of those hours. Hey, you get $2.35, we're taking taxes out. Oh, yeah. It would be about $1.90 for that
Free
hour.
Food.
No. I could get some free soda. I would get free food when I would volunteer to throw away the food that had been sitting there too long. Man. Then it was a free-for-all out by the dumpster.
We used to eat that. I had a friend of mine that worked at McDonald's when we'd go late at night.
You get that dumpster food.
And get that stuff that was, en route to the dumpster.
No shame in that, Drew. No shame.
I can just imagine you just like a pig in a trough. Just going nuts.
Well, you had to see how many of these like apple pies and a filet of fish you could shove in your mouth before they got suspicious. And why isn't he back at the grill?
Sure.
You know, I'll take this stuff out to the dumpster, and then you'd get a bong out and just do like a fillet of fish bongs, you know, just shotgun as many of those as you could in your mouth, and you come back like the chipmunk cheeks, you know.
Did you work there when they had the good apple pies, or did you work there when they got the new baked
apple
pies?
No, I think I was old school apple
pie.
Were
good.
Those little flat things.
They looked like they had acne, you know, just like the little bubbles all over from being fried.
Yeah.
Those were good.
Yeah, I didn't work the deep fryer too much. I was a grill man. That's me. Stick by.
Proud of you.
Joel?
Yeah?
You're 16?
Yeah.
Look how long Joel's been on hold.
120 minutes.
Yeah. I have a question. I've been dating my girlfriend for like a year and a half now, and we've had sex a couple times and done some other stuff, and like, I don't really have very much feeling down in my penis and stuff, and like takes like an hour and
gotta
like,
kill yourself.
Huh?
Do you rarely say this, but you gotta kill yourself.
Do you masturbate?
Yeah, but it takes like an hour for that too.
Wow. Are you on any medication?
I'm on Lexapro.
All right, well that will do that.
What's that Lexapro do, Drew?
Antidepressant. It's a good one, but that will shut you down sexually a bit.
All right. Well,
what's the dose?
Like, I just got on Lexapro, I guess like a year ago, and it's been like this since I've been like 13.
Well, you listen, by 16 you should be getting into a little more of a stride, and it's shutting you down further, is what I'm telling you. What's the dose you're on Lexapro?
All right.
What's the dose?
20 milligrams.
20. That's a good size dose. That's the 10.
It is.
10 is sort of an average dose. So you got to talk to your doctor about this. There's other antidepressant medicines that do not have this side effect. And Lexapro is a good one. It's not very much. It's not very powerful in terms of its suppression of sexual activity, but it can certainly do that.
Well, what's going on? You say taking this since 13?
Well, no, I've been taking it for like a year.
The other thing that can get you to cut off from your body is if you were sexually abused or physically abused. Did that happen?
No, I wasn't.
No. All right. So you just got to get medicines adjusted.
Well, Drew, what are you depressed about, man? Yeah, what are you depressed about?
I don't know. Just a lot of stuff's going on. Like, my parents are divorced and...
cry me a river, buddy. My parents were divorced. I was getting rejected from Taco Bell when I was your age. You got a girlfriend. You're getting laid.
Yeah.
You live in Denver, for Christ's sake. How bad could it be?
Yeah, I don't know.
All right. Let's take some walks. Start listening to classical music. Do some push-ups.
Hey, rebel a little bit, man. I might do more for you.
What do you like to do?
Play football.
Yeah, all right, that's good.
All right.
There you go.
You go to a good school?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. You go to this one that's as nice as Columbine?
No, not near.
Yeah, that's a nice school.
I know.
Yeah. I know everybody. I always felt bad, but whenever they were showing pictures of Columbine, talking about the tragedy, I was like, holy Christ, their library's a crystal cathedral.
Yeah, yeah.
Like three stories, and they'd be like, first he stopped at the mezzanine level, then he took the elevator up to the... I was like, what?
Yeah.
My school had wheels on it. It was a burnt orange and had wheels on it. And it just sitting
your library was a bus.
There were trailers in the back.
Yeah, it didn't have windows and stuff. Like, some of these schools, what's up with L.A.? Why do we have the crappiest schools in the nation? Do we have the...
I know, I love the...
do we have the worst schools in the nation?
The governor's comments tonight, they said they'd opened the books and looked at the budget situation in California, and they said that we knew the numbers were bad, but this was breathtaking. It's like, okay, well, that's why we're all screwed up here with our public services. It's been so mismanaged.
L.A. has got to be, I mean, New York, I'm sure, is up there, but it's got to be some of the oldest, crappiest schools in the country. I mean, when you travel around, like once in a while you see these high school football games from around the country, they're running out onto AstroTurf. Band. It looks like they're playing in a sort of a miniature stadium, you know. Like I said,
you can see where the tax dollars are going.
Some tragedy like Columbine happens, and they start showing, well, he was in the library, then he went to the cafeteria, then he was in the main, you know, acceptance hall and stuff like that. And they're going, oh my God, this looks like a beautiful facility. It's like,
college.
It's like a beautiful facility, yeah. And then, what is this? We got to do something, Drew. I thought California was supposed to be good. Mm. What happened to Los Angeles? Nothing but Taco Bells and crappy schools. Come on, Schwarzenegger. What about all that lotto money? What about that?
Where'd that go?
Where's that going? I mean, you sold that whole thing of, we're going to bail out the schools. We're going to bail out the schools. Well, what are we doing for the schools? How's that work?
Why don't they just start reducing the size of the pot? a little bit and take some up for the schools.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone is anyone going to have a big problem if the lotto pot goes from 50 million to 35 million? Is there going to be an outrage?
How about 50 to 48 even?
Yeah, well, I mean, if they're gonna you know, do the right thing with that money, then yeah. But I mean, if this is just going to continue to line other people's pockets, what's the point of cutting that?
Something's wrong. And then the whole
it's all annuitized anyway. So I mean, it's not even like that's exactly what's there.
Gambling's wrong. And by the way, that whole thing too, where you win the pot of $50 million, we could give you $20 million all up front, or we'll pay you. Yeah. What are you talking about? I won the $50 million. Let's cough it up now. you won the $50 million. Yeah, we could pay that over a course of 800 years, or we could get a lump sum of $1,200. It's like, what? I won the goddamn pot. Give me the money. And where's the schools? And where aren't they getting their money? And why is gambling? Gambling's wrong, except for if you wear slippers when you buy these. Yeah, if you're wearing curlers, a house coat, and slippers, then it's okay. You're betting on football.
Headdress.
Oh, football. Football's wrong. You can't gamble on football. But you have pie-gal poker and lottery and whatever, Texas Hold'em and horses, dogs.
Well, that's not gambling.
That's not gambling.
No, I lied.
Yeah, that's not. No, it's okay. No, that's not.
Pete Rose isn't in the Hall of Fame, but, you know.
Yeah, there football. No.
Take a break.
All right, I'm disgusted at all of you. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Adam Rodriguez is here tonight from CSI Miami. Monday nights at 10 o'clock on CBS. That'd be tomorrow night, everybody. All right, let's take some calls, Drew. What do you say,
yeah,
buddy?
Adam,
enough of your stories.
Huh.
Laura?
Yeah?
You're 17?
Yeah.
You have chlamydia?
Yeah. Well, I don't anymore. I don't think I took antibiotics when I went to the doctor, so does that mean I don't have it anymore?
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
I got it from this guy over the summer, and then I've been sleeping with this other guy, and the condom breaks sometimes, and I sort of went and had it, and I was wondering if we just, like, were having sex just for, like, a second when the condom, if I could have passed it to him, and if I need to tell him.
Yes, you need to tell him. Yes, you could have passed it to him.
Really?
Really?
Yes. If you had it then, it was not since the antibiotics, definitely you could have passed it to him.
Okay, thank you, and I love you, Adam, and I love you, Drew.
Love you.
Sorry, man. Laura.
Bye.
You get Glad you're using a condom.
You get the chlamydia taken care of. We can talk, okay?
Okay.
She'll be 18.
The condom breaks a lot. I mean, does that happen a lot?
Condom breaks a lot, Laura? Yeah.
Mm, yeah. She said you broke a few.
I broke a few.
Mm-hmm. Laura?
How do you break these condoms?
I have no idea. It's never happened with any other guy except this guy.
And he's done it more than once?
What?
And he has broken it more than once?
Yeah, like every time.
Is he putting it on properly?
I don't know. He puts it on. I don't.
Using the right size?
Maybe he needs magnums.
Yeah, you know, it turns out magnums are not that much bigger. They just taper differently. Trojan has something called Trojan XL.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big one.
That's the
and
big,
no one
big
knows
one.
That. Yeah. Yeah. It's funny.
Yeah, a guy's got to help you with it to get out of the car, though. It's a little embarrassing.
Well, if a wind picks up.
Yeah, you both get sucked down the street. But, yeah, they bring one of those pallet jacks out there. It's guys dragging out
your
the SUV.
It'll fit in your trunk.
Looks great if, you know, people catch you. You know, friends, ladies see you pulling that in the back of the car. Casey? Cassie?
Yes?
You're 18?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
I was wondering, I have a boyfriend that's 22, mm-hmm. and we've been going out, I guess, about a month and a half,
mm-hmm.
and I've had a lot of turbulence in my background, I guess.
What does that mean?
I was sexually abused by my brother when I was a child,
mm-hmm.
and I was raped when I was 13.
Of course.
And the way I dealt with that was I did the same thing, you know, I just...
Had more sex.
Huh?
Had more sex.
No, actually, I turned to drugs.
Drug, okay.
Mm-hmm. And I'm recovered.
Great. Mm-hmm.
So, I just don't know whether I should tell him or not.
How old's your boyfriend?
He's 22.
How long have you been with him?
A month and a half.
Well, maybe not at a month and a half, but within 3 months, I think that your recovery is an important part of your life, and he's going to have to know about that, why you go to meetings, who your friends are. He may have to go to some Al-Anon or something. So, yeah, I think he needs to know eventually.
What is that? Does everyone need to know everything?
I didn't say everything. I just said needs to know that she's a recovering person. That's about all.
Yeah, that's
to
a
know.
Big party. I mean, that's an everyday thing. Yeah. So, I mean, if he's going to stay in your life, I think that's important.
Are you
I dated a girl that had to go.
Program?
To meet, and
yeah.
No, I'm not.
Well, you need to get involved. Need to get involved.
Okay.
Because you will go back.
I did the same thing. Like, my dad quit drinking. Mm-hmm. After he went to jail, he was dry for 5 years.
In jail?
In jail, yeah. Well, yeah, he was in jail for 2 years, so he was dry outside for 3 years.
And then he went back.
And, no, he's not back in jail quite yet.
No, he went back to alcohol.
Yeah, he's...
Yeah, do you want to do that? It's progressive disease, Cassie. You want to get in the butt here?
That he's not quite back in the joint either. Is he working his way back into the joint?
Standing trial.
He has court case is pending.
For what?
He's just done his pre-trial, and we're waiting for the trial to come up.
For what? What is the trial for?
Possession of a controlled substance and possession with intent to distribute.
All right, Cassie, look, just get involved in the program. You're please.
Then don't worry about telling what you tell your boyfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't live with my father anymore. And that's one thing that helped me get dragged.
Good.
I was away from all that.
All right, but listen, Cassie.
Yes.
Here's the thing. You work on your sobriety, you get into the program, and if you want to tell your boyfriend, you can tell your boyfriend whatever you want to tell your boyfriend, but don't tell your boyfriend a bunch of wretched things to get him to run away.
Right.
No, I'm not going to do that. Yeah. I love him to death.
That's what we're worried about.
Unless he's a bad guy, you're going to push him away.
You might start pushing him away. Is he a good guy?
He's a very good guy.
So be careful.
Watch out. Your impulse is going to be to freak him out and push him away. Possibly cheat and then tell him.
No, I would never cheat on this man. He's the most honorable man I've ever met.
Yeah,
he's a nice guy, and
he's building him up to be something that he can't possibly keep up with. And when he lets her down the slightest bit, it's going to be a major collapse.
You shouldn't be talking to your partners. You really, it's no good can come of it.
Less history, more mystery.
That's right. No. Nothing good ever came from a conversation with a partner. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back. Well, where'd the time go? Adam, thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me, man. It's always a good time.
Went fast.
CSI Miami on Monday nights on CBS, 10 o'clock. Everyone watch that show if you're not already. I can't imagine you aren't. Drew?
Puddle of Mud here tomorrow night.
Puddle of Mud tomorrow night, and then Pink later in the week, and Kathy Griffin, or Orange, as I call it. Yes, sir.
Watch, he'll drop trout. I swear to God, he will.
I'll drop trout. All right, Adam, you stop by anytime you like. We'll go blow a joint, and I'll stab you with my fire
sword.
Yeah. So until next time, Sam Kroll, Dr. Drew, saying mahalo.
Huh?
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.